Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Cyber Monday today, Black Friday has come and gone, but do these much-heralded shopping events matter like they used to? Increasingly, customers are spreading out their bargain hunting, and retailers are doing the same with their deals. Is that good for shoppers or retailers? And how is the whole holiday shopping season shaping up this year? This hour on Point, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and the ever-evolving shopping season. You can join us on air or online, listeners. Were you busting down the doors on Friday at the local mall, on Thanksgiving itself? Are you keeping a window open at work to hunt for deals today? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Later this hour, we'll look at the Black Friday protest at Walmarts across the country. But first, joining me today from New York City is Wendy Liebman, CEO and chief shopper at WSL Strategic Retail, which works with companies to understand what consumers want and how they shop. Wendy Liebman, welcome back to On Point. Nice to have you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
And also joining us from Port Washington, New York, is Marshall Cohen, chief industry analyst for the NPD Group, a market research company. He's a longtime expert on consumer behavior. Marshall Cohen, welcome back to you as well.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Wendy, I'll start with you. You've been out in the stores. You've seen the numbers. Give us your sense of the early holiday push and how it compares to years past.
Well, I think retailers would say it's disappointing because they still place so much store in this Thanksgiving weekend. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't think we really have a great read yet because the season began very early, almost falling over Halloween. You could find Christmas things in the stores at the same time as you could find Halloween costumes.
Right.
So there was that going on. And the deals, you know, a couple of weeks ago on Amazon, Walmart, Target, particularly online, were pretty aggressive. I've been in stores for the last couple of weeks and, you know, across the country, there have been 20, 30, 40, even 60% off sales. So it got a big start, and it's not surprising then that this weekend was, you know, a little lethargic, to say the least.
Seems like a lot of early discounting going on, Marshall. Really aggressive deals really early. Here's an ad for Old Navy featuring actress Amy Poehler highlighting the store's 50% off deals for everything in the store.
Thursday and Friday, the entire store is 50% off.
Well, I want to go. Do you want to come with?
Yeah.
I don't like to be alone.
The doors open at 4 p.m.
Do you have a car?
It's my mom's.
Come with me.
Yeah!
Who do you love more, me or your mother?
You.
Marshall Cohen, talk about the lengthening of this whole discount period.
Well, Black Friday over the last few years has increasingly gotten longer. We certainly know it went from Friday to Friday, Saturday, and then even into Sunday, as the stores decided to get competitive with online and open up doors on Thanksgiving Day last year, and then more joining the fray this year. All we really are witnessing is a transition to the holiday shopping period. I venture to sit there and say, and I speak to many of the retail leaderships, and they're not disappointed with the season so far. They're actually encouraged by it because their biggest concern was that the stores were going to have a big challenge against online. And the fact that there were so many deals so early, they were wondering, would the consumer even come out on Black Friday and Saturday? Well, they got what they wished for. You know, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. And they did. They got more business earlier. They got enough business over the weekend. And they're going to continue to get business. And look for stores to continue the deals. Many of these doorbuster deals were planned. I wouldn't say that the apparel business in the chain stores, like 50 off store wide, was necessarily planned, but that was due to the fact that they had a tough third quarter and they needed to manage inventory and get some momentum.
Well, I am looking at the numbers here. Retail spending over the Thanksgiving weekend fell 11%, according to the main industry trade group, a sign that the annual four-day shopping bonanza may be losing some of its punch. Wendy Liebman?
I think it's true, and I think you know, when you hear what Marshall's saying, that's true too. This hasn't happened just overnight. We've been seeing it over the last few years. So I think there was an awareness of that. And I think the early online deals, you know, sparked most of the traditional retailers, if you will, to be more aggressive in store and online. But I think the challenge is we've also got a shopper out there, and we see this in our How America Shops research, a shopper who's very pragmatic, who's working off a list, who's not so inclined still to do, you know, mad impulse shopping, and so is very steady about what they want when they want it. So, you know, they're just going to wait till the price is right, and hopefully there's a convergence between what the retailers think is the right price and what the shoppers think is the right price, at which point, you know, the margins will look all right at the end of the year. But that's a bit of a challenge. Shoppers, in my mind, always win this.
Marshall Cohen, talk about Cyber Monday and the power of the phone. Everybody's got one now. They're shopping on it anytime, anywhere. Every day Black Friday, every minute Cyber Monday.
Basically, that's exactly the right thing to say. It is now every day. I call it Black November. I don't even call it Black Friday anymore. And it's simply because the consumer can get what they want, when they want, where they want, and almost at what price they want. So it really is about recognizing that the new world of technology has made the consumer so much smarter, so much sharper, so much more advantageous. I mean, we all get it. We get, you know, between 20 to 100 emails a day from retailers and online sites offering up all kinds of deals all the time. It's really about, you know, just being at the right place when you're ready to get it. And even if you haven't gotten an email inbound, you can certainly use your phone to look outbound to find the right deal. So we've entered into a period where it's really about availability of product and the right price of product that's going to dictate who gets, you know, the consumer. And retailers this year are really about the early bird catching the worm. They want to get that earlier dollar because they know that there's a finite amount of money in the consumer's pocket. The other thing we have to recognize is just because the stores have opened up more days and more hours, it doesn't mean we have more relatives. It doesn't mean we have more money in our pocket. So this is really about understanding that there's a base of business to be had, and they have to be aggressive about going and getting it. That's why stores were so quick to go and promote earlier this year. You have to look at the whole picture. That's going to determine the success of the holiday season.
Wendy Liebman,
just one weekend.
Last year, it was big news in the lead up to Black Friday when some stores declared that they would price match online deals, which notably included Amazon. What about price matching this year? We talk about early bird catching the worm, retailers getting in on it early. How much can consumers use that to their advantage this year?
Well, I think they really can. And it is this whole issue of being, it's almost as if consumers have an algorithm, their very own personal algorithm in their head. And they've, you know, we've heard from them where they're telling us they've identified the items they want, you know, within a price range. And now they are really keeping their eye out and scanning those key items at key retailers that they trust to have low prices. So that whole notion of price matching is sort of old world in the sense of one retailer matching another. In this case, it's consumers, shoppers, as we call them, out there really with their own sense of price matching and being very, excuse the expression, bloody-minded about how and where they're going to do it.
Here's a Macy's Cyber Monday TV ad showcasing deals on winter gear.
It's Macy's Cyber Monday sale with Sunday and Monday specials. Save 60% on sweaters, cashmere, coats, and more for her.
What about layaway programs this year, Marshall Cohen? Some retailers are rewarding customers who actually complete their holiday layaway shopping, you know, as early as October, maybe even September. This stuff back to school shopping, right? Is this a nod to a still cautious financial climate?
This really tells us that the retailers are being very sensitive to the fact that there are different levels of income and different levels of spending power by consumer demographics. A fancy way of basically saying they recognize not everybody can afford to go out in the month of November and December and just blitz on holiday purchases. So again, it's the retailer trying to say, we care about you, we understand your needs, and we want your business as early as possible. They recognize that if you commit to a layaway program in their store back in October, you can't walk away from it. You're not going to walk away from the money that you've been paying off, you know, week to week, month to month, or whatever deposit you put down. So they recognize this is about securing their space. And this is really about retailers looking for every stone that they can turn to try to get whatever dollar they can get. Mm-hmm. It is a very competitive year. There are very few new and exciting items out there, and it is a homogeneous assortment. So many stores have so many of the same items that it has become a price and availabilities war.
Very competitive year, Wendy Liebman. Homogeneous products out there. What are some of the more outrageous ploys you've seen to get early foot traffic this year?
Well, there's been everything from, you know, obviously extreme discounting. That's certainly been one thing that I've noticed and has been a little bit of a concern. But I also think there's been, you know, gift cards at a higher level than you've seen before, quite high-level gift cards on everyday product, like Target was doing lots of groceries, you know, buy the groceries and you get, you know, a bigger gift card than you usually do. Usually it's about $5. Sometimes you spend $40, now you get $10. So those kinds of things have been sort of the magnitude of those have been greater. Obviously, free shipping, which has sort of become the, you know, de rigueur or whatever of the excitement about if you don't offer that, then, you know, I'm not showing up kind of thing. I even noticed, which was amusing to me, as I was on Amazon over the weekend shopping, that if you didn't need your shipping, I'm a Prime member, if I didn't need it within the typical Prime 2 days, and I actually was willing to wait a couple of extra days, I got $1 off, a dollar credit rather, not $1 off. So I thought that was intriguing, that $1 might be worth something to a Prime member, but it was, so I took it.
The early discounting, is the early extreme discounting concerning to you? You said it was.
It is. You know, I was just, you know, this sort of race to the bottom worries me. But I think Marshall's right in the sense that this feels like a very, in some ways, quite an orderly holiday season, which may sound really weird. But I think the retailers are being very pragmatic. The shoppers are being pragmatic. So I think what worried me, though, was early in the season, seeing the level of discounting that was going on and then the whole store discounting, as you mentioned, with Old Navy, and the concern of what it looks like, you know, 3 weeks from now.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and the holiday shopping season. There were shoppers flooding a Houston, Texas Walmart on Thanksgiving Day where tablets were on sale for $29. HD TVs were $218. You can join the conversation, listeners. Is there a way to make holiday shopping saner for the average American while still offering the deals that get people to open their wallets? We're joined this hour by Wendy Liebman, CEO and Chief Shopper at WSL Strategic Retail, and by Marshall Cohen, Chief Industry Analyst for NPD Group. Marshall, what's the 2014 holiday budget looking like for the average American shopper this year, and how does that compare to years past?
This year's budget went up about 5%, which is pretty on par for what the numbers increase from year to year to year to year. You know, it really depends. Family with children obviously spends a significant amount more. Average American spends $685 for the holiday season. That includes food and gift. So when you look at what's going on, we're really recognizing that holiday, and here's what's interesting to me. Holiday has never passed 19% of the total average spend for retail shopping. And the numbers fluctuate as low as right in the midst of the recession, we got down to 18.2%. So what we're really talking about is a big piece of the, you know, the annual retail number, but it also doesn't fluctuate even in the good years and the bad years all that much. So the real key is where are they spending, not necessarily how much they're spending.
And so where are they spending? How much of that is online? How much is it brick-and-mortar stores?
Online this year has become the number one channel for the first time. Online has now beat out mass merchants as the choice place for consumers to shop. That's a big story right there in itself.
What do you make of that, Wendy Liebman?
Well, I think this has been coming. We've seen it over the last 4 or 5 years, pre-recession and moving into the recession, that online has just become the easy place for people to do things. It's easier to shop. It's less stressed. You can see the prices. You can make a list. So I think as more and more people have had access, either through their computers at work or through their smartphones, which is the big news this season, that you see it's just transforming the landscape. And we know that because we've heard, you know, whether it's the Walmarts and Targets of this world, along with other major retailers like Macy's and Dillard's, very aggressive in terms of their online offers as well as their physical store offers. Mm. But it does change the dynamic of how many stores we need and how many hours they need to be open. And that's a different landscape, again, as I say, for the American retailer.
Sure does change the pattern. What is the pattern, Marshall Cowan, for how and when people use online retailers during the holiday season?
Nonstop is the real answer. the key really is to understand that a lot of what happens is the consumer recognizes there are certain strategic opportunities within store. And some stores have done a much better job this year of bouncing you back into the store. When I speak with retail clients, I use the expression, you want them in the store. You need them in the store. Consumers buy on impulse 45% of their product in the store, but yet only 25% on impulse online. So retailers who have store presence, and that's why you're even seeing online retailers open up brick-and-mortar stores, because they recognize the importance of the in-store equation. Now, having said that, we need to understand the dynamic of how the consumer shops, and they will use their phone, they will use their tablet, they'll even use their laptop or desktop as a tool to research. If they see a deal that's really good enough and they recognize it, as Wendy said earlier, the price really does dictate the trigger point for the consumer to make the purchase. If they see something online that's at the right price with free shipping and it's the perfect deal for them and it's matched the price they're looking for, they'll push put it in the cart and push click and buy. If it's not, they will go to the store and look around and see what else they can find, having used online as a research tool.
Hmm. Let's get Linda in here from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Linda. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
Wendy said something that kind of hit home to me about that all the stores have the same thing. They do, and I do not shop at big box stores or chains. I try my best to shop local and support my friends that have businesses, because I think that if people know where their product comes from and they know that someone took the time to make it and it's very special and it's not the same. So that's what I try to do, and that's what I try to get my friends to do. And there's a big movement, I think, towards that. It's just going to take a while to get people out of these big box stores, in my opinion.
Linda, thank you. Wendy, would you respond to that? Do you see that as a big movement?
I certainly see the point about the sort of commoditization of the product. I mean, you can buy the cashmere sweater, the flat screen television, the smartphone accessories just about everywhere, which means that's why this race to the bottom about what's the lowest price for me. Me as a consumer. And I think that's a really big challenge that big box, large chains have to deal with, whether they're department stores or mass retailers. The sameness of what they have to offer means, in the end, it's all about price. So I think, to Linda's point, it is about how can I find something different? And, yes, how can I find something, you know, maybe in my local community, which is what, you know, Small Business Saturday was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Something local, support my local retailer, become a big point, but I think it's a bigger issue, and the bigger issue is if traditional big retailers do not start to offer innovation, and that's on the manufacturer's heads, if you will. If there's not more innovation in product, it is all about price and convenience.
Product innovation, Marshall, the key here?
My favorite word. I cry for innovation in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It pains me to sit there and see that there is such a lack of innovation in certain mm-hmm. categories. And when technology keeps out-fashioning the fashion business, and when there's more color in the kitchen appliance business than there mm-hmm. is in any of the other industries, it makes me cringe, because I recognize that what's happening is we are boring the consumer to death. Mm-hmm. Linda's point about having to go to a specialty retailer to find a unique product is absolutely the key to the success of the smaller retailer, the ability to provide better service and a unique assortment. We're seeing some of the luxury retailers try to do this now again and make their product unique and different. However, it does take time. And the key here is to recognize that what we need to do is push retailers and make them recognize that we're going to go where we can find the products we want. We're not going to just keep buying the same old thing. If retailers keep thinking that we're going to buy more flat screen TVs, they've got to realize we're running out of wall space for these things. So we can't keep buying more of them, and we can't keep buying the same products just because they want us to buy them. At some point, even the lowest price isn't going to get us to buy.
Here's Gabriel in Dover, Tennessee. Hi, Gabriel. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. Thank you. Sure. One of the things that I'd like to point out is I live in a very rural community in Tennessee, and the nearest Walmart is about 45 miles away. And with the different companies like Verizon and Dish Network and things like that offering internet services out to rural communities, I think it's played a huge part for us as far as, you know, we don't have to drive 50-plus mm-hmm. miles to get to these big box stores. We can do all of our holiday shopping online. My community literally has one stoplight when you actually make it into town.
Yep.
And they're just now building a Walmart, one of the small ones, a Walmart Express, I believe, but they offer site-to-store shipping, and that is a huge dynamic for us.
Gabriel, thank you. Marshall Cohen, it is a practical matter for many, many Americans.
Yeah, what we're beginning to see is the changing landscape of retail as we know it. It used to be that they would put a bigger Walmart there and try to draw traffic to it. With the advent of the internet and the ability to have logistics now that make it so much better for the rural consumer, they no longer have to put a big store there. They can put a location there, and they can put, you know, high volume product, but with the ability to ship the product that is necessarily something that might be lower volume or bigger size, where the customer can go and pick it up, a locker. And that is going to change the dynamic in a big way for the retailer so that they don't feel the pressure to have to open up another 150 stores every year. They can open up small, more convenient stores that have much better profitability for them.
So there was Gabriel shopping online for practical reasons. Wendy Liebman, what's going to do well online generally this year speaking? What are the truly sweet deals online this year?
Well, I think, you know, Marshall said it, others have said it, you know, it's technology, for good or for bad, is still the ticket, the hot ticket item. You know, our walls might be filled up, but maybe this flat screen, whatever size, gets to be bigger. I saw in Walmart this gigantic, I couldn't even believe that was bigger than me, television for $648 or something. And I just, you know, you still see that. And when you talk to the retailers, you know, they're talking about either the electronics or the accessories that go with the electronics. And I think the one convergence of fashion into electronics we've seen is all the, you know, the smartphone covers that you can customize. But the fact of the matter is it's not in apparel. It is some degree in home. Toys, you know, anything with Frozen on it will get a lot of people tapping their keyboards today. So I think it's some of the traditional categories, and I include electronics now as traditional. You know, unless I'm buying something for myself that I've been eyeing, it's a very narrow range of things that people are buying for the holidays still online or in the stores.
Marshall Cohen, do you agree? Not so much on apparel, maybe some toys, big year there, but certainly electronics wins out.
Electronics starts out really well, because so much of this business early on is still self-gifting. You got to keep in mind Cyber Monday, Black Friday week, is a lot of it goes into the self-purchasing category. 83% of consumers still have the majority of their holiday shopping left to be done. So even though we've had a big beginning to the holiday period, we haven't even really started shopping as gifts. So much of what is being bought in this early stage is product that they want for themselves. The other part to answer the question, what's going to be hot? It's really going to be about accessories of all kinds, accessories for electronics. If I bought you an electronic gift last year, a tablet or some kind of phone or some other product, I'm going to buy an accessory item for you this year for it. I'm not going to buy you another tablet. So I might buy you headphones or wireless speakers. You also need to look at accessories to the fashion side of the equation, simply because there really isn't a hot fashion item out there. So those are big. The toy business will continue to do well. Footwear becomes an interesting dynamic because we don't traditionally think of footwear as a holiday item, but over the last few years, it has become one. It's now in the top 7 of the top 10, and that's another area you need to look at, and does very well online, by the way.
Really? Wendy Liebman, go ahead.
No, I was also, you know, it's interesting to me watching people over the weekend buying things for their home and their household and their kitchens, you know, whether it was the Keurig coffee maker, they had deals on Dyson vacuum cleaners. It's probably the wrong word to go together, but those cleaning things, seeing I don't do that much. But those kinds of things that people said they were buying for their home, for their household. So those kinds of products that, that people felt were good additions, some of them were replacement, you know, things that had just gone bust and they were waiting for the season to replenish it. But many people that I spoke to actually said, we're doing this for our family. It was kind of the extension of the flat screen television. So I think those departments in many of the retailers, particularly the big boxes, were doing quite well and seeing lots of traffic in the stores.
Here's Lee in Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Lee. Thanks for waiting and welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. Hi. Thank you. I have heard a lot of commentary even before today about the shopping this holiday season, and it puzzles me that nobody's talking about people really having less money. I live in a very prosperous area, and really the people that I know are struggling. They're either unemployed, they have grown children living with them, or some of them are still unemployed as well as underemployed. And when you look at the price of groceries, the amount that we're now spending out of our household income on other items, you know, everyday items, just like groceries, it really puzzles me that nobody's talking about just having less money.
Less to spend. Lee, thank you so much. Marshall Cohen, you respond to that, please.
I'm glad she raises this question because one of the things we have to recognize is the millennial consumer, which was a big part of the Black Friday week shopping, represents 36% of those over 18 years of age that are under 35. 36% of them live at home, to our point exactly. And that changes the dynamic. Now, when you look at that, and some of them are unemployed, all right, and some of them are even rearing families within those family units. So now we have multi-generation households. It creates an interesting issue because we've now started to share some of the expenses. We've started to see even some of the purchases. Wendy mentioned about the vacuum cleaner. Well, we don't need three vacuum cleaners in the house. If you have three generations there, you still only need one. Now, what's happening is we're beginning to sit there and see a dynamic that goes back almost 30 years ago, which is multi-generational living as well as purchasing. And it is an issue. You know, much to do was made about the fact that the gas prices on the national level are lower than they were a year ago. That's true. But does that really change the spending power of most of the American, average American? It puts about $27 to $30 more in their pocket a month. And what that does is that's not going to change the way they spend dramatically. So looking at the economy, we hear so much about job stabilization. We hear so much about more discretionary power because of lower priced gas. But the cost of living is accelerating higher than the cost of earning power. And that is an issue. So I'm glad that, you know, yeah, it was raised because it does present a challenge.
Wendy, do you see the multi-generational dynamics shifting patterns and shopping patterns this holiday season?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think these sort of household purchases for the home as opposed to just for me make a really big difference. I think there's the other thing going on, and Marshall alluded to it. You know, we've not just got people living at home longer or at home with their families and extended families. We've also got an increasing number of single person households. So you've got people who are making different decisions about how they're buying goods and services for the holiday or for every day. And this point that Marsha raised and Lee also raised, you know, the gas price thing, there's been lots of hype about that. Oh, the lower gas prices. But in reality, you know, food prices have gone up and that makes a huge difference in terms of every day. So I think that's why we're talking about shoppers being very pragmatic, having the list, thinking about what they want, and then the notion of impulse, well, that's up for grabs these days.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and the holiday shopping season that is. You can join the conversation. What do you think about stores opening at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving? Good idea, or is the shopping season taking over? We're joined this hour by Wendy Liebman, CEO and Chief Shopper at WSL Strategic Retail, and by Marshall Cohen, Chief Industry Analyst for the NPD Group. Let's go to the calls. Carol is in Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Carol. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
We drove home 600 miles yesterday from our Thanksgiving trip. My husband drove. I sat and did my shopping on my
Your phone, right.
On my iPhone, rather.
Did you get it all done, Carol?
Well, I got most of it done. I did wake up in the night to check that my favorite store had extra points, so I did a little more shopping when I woke up once in the night, and I emailed the order to my daughter, so she made sure she didn't order the same thing online for grandson number three.
There you go. Carol, thank you. All the best. Happy holidays. Wendy Liebman, I've heard a lot of serious shopping problems. Well, last year we heard a lot about it, you know. People just couldn't get their stuff on time. I'm a little nervous. I think a lot of other people are as well. All this online shopping, so much going online, they can't get there in time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the other reasons people started shopping earlier online, because, you know, then you had a better chance of getting it when you needed it. So that couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, there were people who were very engaged in getting stuff done just to make sure it arrived on time. I think, hopefully, most of the shipping services are very conscious of that now. I know that the post office is supposedly delivering mail 7 days a week now. We'll see how that works. But I think that there is a worry about that. So the other advantage today, though, is, and it's something Marshall brought up, some of the retailers really pushing now buy online, pick up in the store. So that does give people kind of a fail-safe, a safety net in case there's a problem. But it is a big issue and people are very conscious of it.
Marshall, what about that buying online, picking up at the store?
That's a big advantage for a lot of reasons. Retailers love it because they get you in the store. Once you're in the store, you tend to spend more money and not just going and picking up your item and running out. But the other thing we have to recognize is the retailers caused this problem last year, and they kind of don't want to tell anybody about this, but they all got very competitive with free shipping and free second-day shipping last year. Buy up until the 23rd of December, and we'll guarantee that it gets there. We'll give you free two-day delivery. Somebody forgot to tell the shippers that last year. Nobody really thought about that when they started to get very competitive with one another, and they got just overzealous about offering it up. And then you had a big storm in the Midwest last year that just kind of backlogged shipping. So the shipping issue really was something that was self-perpetuated by retail. They're not going to make that same mistake this year. Also, the shippers themselves this year said, listen, you can't do that to us again next year, meaning this holiday, so we're only going to guarantee deliveries up and through the time that they can process the packages. So this year, I don't see it as big of a problem. I also see the consumer, to Wendy's point, being smarter and recognizing we will ship a little bit earlier this year so we don't have that disappointed relative.
Here's Katie in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Katie, welcome to On Point.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you mentioned that it seems that this year that there were a lot of new gifts made possible by technology. I'm wondering, are you also seeing that there are personalized gifts now made possible by new technologies that can be delivered in almost overnight fashion?
Katie, thank you. Marshall Cohen?
Monogramming and personalizing product is a big push this year. Retailers are testing it in many cases, so you are seeing more of it. You're not seeing the same rollout. Look for this to be a huge trend, even more so next holiday, if it's successful enough. But personalizing the product is a great way to take what is this homogeneous assortment, this same product everywhere, and making it feel a little bit special. I hear so many consumers tell me that they feel bad about giving gift cards because it's so impersonal. One of the ways to combat that is to find a way to get these products personalized, customized, or even monogrammed and initial. So great comment and a great way to sit there and show the people that you care about that you thought actually about this gift more than just running into a store or buying it online and getting a great deal.
Katie, thank you. Here's Paul in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
People, you've got it all wrong. you don't need your Cyber Mondays. You need to go outside to your local brick and mortars and buy it from them.
Another push for specialty shops, right, Paul? Are you a small business owner?
Keep your money local. Keep your neighbor employed. You keep your community viable. You look downtown and half these places, all the stores are empty. Whose fault is that? You know, when you're sending your money to Bentonville, Arkansas, or offshoring all your profits, none of the local Americans benefit. Whereas if you just call the guy who has the stuff in stock in your local store and buy it from him, you've done a lot of good rather than just click and buy while you're driving home from vacation.
Paul, thank you. Can specialty shops still compete, Wendy Liebman? Is there anything that can woo customers away from the ease of, you know, shopping on the couch or in the car on the way home from Thanksgiving and bring customers back into brick and mortar?
I think they can. And I do think it goes back to that point of unique product, that notion of not having the same stuff or not just seeing the same stuff everywhere. I think that the local retailers can do more of that customization. I think the service, providing they deliver it correctly, can be an enhancement rather than, you know, battling the billions and squillions of crowds. But at the same time, shoppers are very smart and they understand if you're taking advantage of them in terms of price. So it really has to be a great, use the term value, and the uniqueness, the service, the localization for my community doesn't mean you can charge a premium. So I think those are the kinds of issues that, you know, that the small business owner has to think about. But there is an opportunity there to create that more local, unique proposition.
Here's Brian in Albany, New York. Hi, Brian. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment on this myth that's out there that the big box realtor, that the people working on Thanksgiving or these early hours, that it's an option for them. That's not the case. I've worked for big box retail for the last 5 years. You're assigned it. You don't have an option. And that myth just keeps perpetuating that these people are doing it for extra cash. You don't have a choice.
Brian, thank you. Richard online agrees with you, would never shop on Black Friday. Feel sorry for retail employees. A lot of them don't have a choice, Wendy Liebman, correct?
I think it depends on the retailer, absolutely. I think it is, for many retailers, it is a designated shift, and you're either in it or you're not. And I think that's just, sadly, the reality for many.
Paul in West Bend, Wisconsin. Hi, Paul. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. Take a walk through a local Ace store or take a walk through a local original or national big box store and take a look at the label. 85% of the products, whether it's electronics to fake Christmas trees to cashmere sweaters, you'll see made in China. And we are an outlet buying Chinese products at that volume. Is truly amazing. As our unemployment soars, we are abdicating manufacturing to China, and China is highly aggressive. They are now trying to get branding refined so that people will buy a Chinese product and respect it as much as an Apple product, say, for example. And we are going down a very treacherous economic track here with this total unbalance of trade with China. And when you buy an $85 or $125 cashmere sweater or a set of earbuds, and it's made in China, I think that ought to start ringing alarm bells.
Paul, thank you. Should it, Marshall Cohen? Do you agree with the caller, Paul?
Well, there's lots of different sides to this part of the equation. You know, many of the American companies have now figured out how not to be in the manufacturing side, but they still employ plenty of people who are handling a lot of the design, the sales, the distribution in the retail outlets. Also, they have to be price competitive, so that employs a lot of the people who work in the store and in the, and outside of the headquarters offices. So you can argue both sides of the equation. Certainly, and I work with a lot of the manufacturers the few that are left in the United States, and we have this discussion all the time. How do we do a better job of incentivizing American production? Until government creates regulations and tax benefits to do that, it's going to be very tricky.
Marshall Cohen, Chief Industry Analyst for the NPD Group. Marshall, thank you so much for your time today. Great insights.
Pleasure.
Wendy Liebman is CEO and Chief Shopper at WSL Strategic Retail. Always nice speaking with you, Wendy. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Happy shopping.
To you, too. In a moment, protest over wages at America's Walmarts. This is On Point. In addition to shoppers, thousands of protesters came to Walmarts across the country on Black Friday to protest what they said were low wages.
Walmart, you're not good.
Treat your workers like you should.
Walmart, you're not good.
Treat your workers like you should.
That's in Portland, Oregon, protesters calling for better treatment and higher wages. Joining me now from New York City to look at the protests is Stephen Greenhouse, labor and workplace reporter for The New York Times. Stephen Greenhouse, welcome back to On Point.
Nice to be here, Jane.
So tell us about these protests at Walmarts over Black Friday.
So the a group called Our Walmart, which is a union-backed group of Walmart employees, announced last week it was going to have protests at 1,600 Walmarts across the nation. And so the people who are protesting are demanding pay of $15 an hour, and they want Walmart to provide its workers, many of whom are part-time, with more full-time jobs and less erratic schedules that change every week. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, so the people who protest, some of them are Walmart workers, but most of them are, you know, are community supporters, clergy, members of labor unions, leftist activists, African-American groups. And Walmart downplays this, saying, this is just a union-backed protest, that almost all the people are union members and not really Walmart workers. I think one change from this year compared with last year's protest, Jane, is I think many more of the protesters this year were actual Walmart workers. Last year, a lot of the Walmart workers were much more scared about sticking their necks out and protesting. They worried about being retaliated against by Walmart. But this year, there are hundreds and hundreds of Walmart workers who joined this one-day protest.
So they're pushing for $15 an hour wage increase. How do Walmart's wages currently stack up to the national landscape?
So Walmart says pay for its full-time workers averages $12.94 an hour, and it says that when you combine its full-time and part-time workers, it's $11.81 an hour. Those numbers are slightly higher than retail workers overall in the nation. But, the groups leading the protest say Walmart is exaggerating the numbers. I've interviewed a lot of Walmart workers who after two, three, 4 years are still making less than $10 an hour. I think Walmart is including the pay of some of its managers in its numbers, and that pushes up the overall figure.
You talked about Walmart possibly retaliating against employees or employees being concerned about that in protests in past years. Can you tell me how that revealed itself?
Sure. Last January, Jane, the National Labor Relations Board General Counsel brought a large wave of charges, allegations against Walmart, saying that it had improperly retaliated against 70 employees in 14 states. It said that Walmart had fired 19 employees for engaging in what the National Labor Relations Board said was protected activity of banding together to protest for better wages and better working conditions. Walmart says, yes, we've been, the NLRB alleges all that, but it hasn't been adjudicated yet, and Walmart says we haven't been found guilty of any of these violations. These charges will probably be heard by a judge over the next few months, and a decision, I guess, will come sometime in 2015.
So less concern about retaliation this year, again, I guess, after the board's move?
I think what happened this year, Jane, is, there's been this huge success of the fast food strikes that's really garnered national attention, has really pushed, tens of thousands of workers have participated. It's really put low wages into the national spotlight. I think the fast food movement has really, in turn, emboldened many, many Walmart workers to think, if these McDonald's workers, if these Subway workers, if these Wendy's workers can protest, why can't we at Walmart protest? And I think that's why things have gathered momentum at Walmart this year.
Were the protests large enough to make a difference in Black Friday shopping, do you think?
That's a good question. Unclear. Walmart, as I said, downplays this, but I think it's really getting under Walmart's skin. The so-called Our Walmart, protesters say that they've already won some victories with Walmart. Walmart announced that it would stop paying any of its workers the minimum wage, that all its workers would henceforth be paid more than the minimum wage. Walmart announced a few months ago that it will increase the number of full-timers significantly. Walmart also announced that it would treat pregnant workers better. Walmart says it's going to do all that anyway. It's not the result of these protests. The protesters say, because we've been pressuring, ridiculing Walmart, that's caused it to make some improvements.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen Greenhouse, labor and workplace reporter for the New York Times. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us.
Always nice to be on point. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you very much. Well, our program is produced by Nick Anderson, Catherine Brewer, Abigail Collins, Julie Jopp, Sam Gail Rosen, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Sarah Platt, and James Ross, with help from Amanda Gomez and Madeline Moore. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. You can continue the conversation, listeners, and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, Chuck Hagel is out. Critics say he's just a sacrificial lamb for a White House adrift on foreign policy. Time for a reset on national security? We'll talk about that tomorrow. For now, I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.